I'll do the cooking, darling.
All right. The time is 6:03, and I am calling to order the October 7th meeting of the Library Commission. Gavel makes it official, and we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All righty, Janet, with your help, if we could do a roll call.
Chair Callanan?
Present.
Vice Chair Caldy?
Present.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Present.
Commissioner Goodman?
Present.
All right, well, let's move to the consent calendar. Item A1, the approval of the Library Advisory Commission meeting minutes of Monday, August 5th, 2024. Make a motion to approve.
So moved.
All right, that's the second. And then, Janet, your help with the roll call.
Chair Callanan?
Aye.
Vice Chair Caldy?
Aye.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Aye.
Commissioner Goodman?
Aye.
Fantastic. All right, so we'll move on to the presentation portion. A quick note that you'll see in your packets, it's a typo of B.2. Just want to correct the fact that it should be B.1, and we will begin with B.1.
The presentation item for the Goleta Valley Library Director's Report.
All right, Ms. Osedo, over to you.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our meeting this evening. It's my pleasure to present some summary updates from what's been going on at Goleta Valley Library over the past few months. The content of the presentation this evening will focus on a few areas of activity, such as programs and events and the status updates for long-term initiatives, specifically for the months during July and August, but because we have had somewhat of an action-packed last few months, there are a few updates from September and even October included, just to make sure that everyone is well informed. So we will dive in with an update from some of our programs. So we're going to cover some highlights. Our summer reading program concluded during our reporting period. So this was our wrap-up of data after the summer reading program in terms of some statistics. So we had a very successful summer reading program. I know we've mentioned before the purpose of the program is really to encourage reading, particularly among school-aged children in between school years. But it has evolved to really a community-wide initiative to just promote literacy, promote reading at all ages as a lifelong habit. So our program this year ran for 7 weeks. It started in June, ran through July, and it takes place really system-wide. So it takes place, of course, at Goleta Valley Library. Our children's librarian does a fantastic job of coordinating among all of our sites. So that does include our branches in Buellton and Solving, as well as off-site outreach service for summer reading that takes place on the book van. So looking at our wrap-up, over 1,500 children in grades K through 6 participated, which is terrific. It's right on par with our previous years and really does reflect very nicely when compared against our pre-COVID numbers, which is something we're still always, you know, sort of measuring and gauging, you know, our participation in that regard. Our teen participation was fantastic. Typically, we have about 100 teens. In recent years, it has really climbed. So we're excited to see, you know, our teens participating in the program and engaging. Those are students in grades 7 through 12. So we're really excited to see that growth in that area in particular, wanting to really see that consistency of library usage from elementary grades, middle school, and then into junior high school, and of course beyond as well. And then, of course, our adults have an opportunity to participate in the summer reading program, too. It's a little bit of a different structure. We count our participation based on number of books read. And so they logged over 700 books in 7 weeks, which we think is terrific. So all of this is, you know, something we definitely count as successful, and it couldn't be done without the support of our crew of fantastic volunteers. So our teen volunteers have the opportunity to earn community service hours for school. And we do have some adult participation as well. So across all of our locations, adults and teens combined, we had 80 volunteers help us bring this to life. So we are beyond grateful for their support. They did a fantastic job. I did want to touch on a few of our highlights from the program. So some of you may be familiar with the annual Stuffed Animal Sleepover. In addition to being just simply adorable and helping to promote a love for the library, it creates really positive associations between our local young patrons and their local library. So it helps to really build an enthusiasm for what the library does. This is a picture of over 400 stuffed animals in our children's area at the library. One of our staff members reading a picture book to them. This was our absolute highest number ever to date. So I think it's almost double what we had last year. So we are really happy to see that this is becoming a beloved community event. It also does promote secondary benefits too, such as social emotional learning, and also that sense of enrichment, getting out into your community and getting involved. We had the return of a couple of well-known beloved performers, such as magician Sean McMaster, and our puppeteer, Loose Puppet Company, as well as some very innovative staff programming. So at our Solving Library, our staff coordinated this incredible geology program that was Adventures in Geology. It was a Dibley Map workshop. And then at Buellton Library, again, really just drawing on the talents and creativity of our staff members to develop some great staff-led programming, such as our craft day, which was a camp-out theme. All right, so moving into our more recent programming, we did just celebrate another beloved community program. This is the Creek Week Art Contest. So each year, for the past 3 years, the library has partnered with the Environmental Services Division here at the City of Goleta in celebration of Creek Week, which honors our local creeks, watersheds, and oceans. So artists are invited to submit original art, which is displayed in our community room at the library. The art is scored based on pre-established criteria by Mayor Paula Perotti, as well as a local guest judge from the Goleta Valley Art Association, Ms. Kelly Hildner. And then we hold a reception. So after the art is on display throughout the month, all of the artists, their friends and family, and the community are invited to a reception at the community room at Goleta Valley Library, where certificates are awarded for first, second, third, honorable mention, and People's Choice Awards. So it's really a great testament not only to the talents of our community, but also the library's role as that community hub where people come together to celebrate a common interest and to share their skills with one another. The conversations with regards to environmental services and art were just really moving during this event. All right, so moving away from our programming into a couple of other updates. So we'll cover some staffing updates briefly. We did bring our book van up to full staffing over the summer. Our newest library assistant has hit the ground running. She completed all of her training, and she's been participating in some great local community outreach events. She's assisted at the Lemon Festival, at the Lemon Run, as well as the Mexican Independence Day Festival at the Goleta Community Center. And so that's fantastic that our book van is fully staffed. At Goleta Valley Library, we are recruiting for a supervising librarian as well as a library assistant. And at our Buellton branch, we're also recruiting for a library assistant. And last but certainly not least, I wanted to take a moment to acknowledge our branch supervisor at Solving Library, Ms. Carrie McKinnon, who has been with Solving Library for 25 years, just announced her retirement. So in coming months, she will be retiring. And it's really just a testament to commitment to excellent service in the Solving in Los Olivos and San Ynez area. So recruitments will be beginning. She's with us for a little while longer, but we will definitely be recognizing that just incredible public service that she has brought to the library. Next, this is one of my favorite parts of every presentation. I think you know by now I love data. I just love seeing the numbers. So we've just compiled a couple of our favorite statistics here, which I think really are illustrative of our usage in a variety of different ways. So just in terms of foot traffic to Goleta Valley Library, during the months of July and August, we saw over 32,000 visits, which is just fantastic. We love to see that. So all of those programs that we mentioned in the summer reading program, bringing in great crowds of, you know, dozens to hundreds of attendees of all ages is certainly reflected here, as well as just day-to-day use. So this is one of our peak periods, so we're happy to see that number to show our library is really thriving. Our computer usage, that remains one of our day-to-day just most vital services. So our computer usage was over 1,500 sessions during this two-month period. And again, really just celebrating our volunteer contributions at over 1,600 hours of volunteer time in this two-month period is fantastic. So we are very grateful to all of their support. And this took place over a period of being open for 401 hours. We held 55 programs and saw over 3,700 attendees. So we are very happy to see those numbers and to share them with you tonight. Lastly, we do have a couple of updates with regards to grants. So we are very happy that we received recent notice that our Zip Books grant will be awarded to Goleta Valley Library again this year and to our branches as well. So the city of Goleta did receive notification of the award, and those details are still pending with regards to amounts and sort of the dates of the program, but that will be coming very soon. Next, an update on our Building Forward grant. So this is the Building Forward Library Facilities Improvement Program grant. And so a year ago in October, we were notified through the California State Library that Goleta Valley Library would be the recipient of a significant amount of grant funds, $4.2 million, to the city of Goleta that are awarded for very specific improvement categories. And so these are the ADA path of travel and restroom upgrades, the modernization and replacement of all of our HVAC systems, life safety and security installation and upgrades, our LED lighting retrofits, our door and window replacement and upgrades, as well as fascia repair and exterior paint. Seven categories that I will soon be able to say without looking at my report, because I will be able to say all of those. But they're very specific and very much needed areas of improvement. And so we do have a more detailed update on this coming in the next slide that we have a couple of service updates to share with you. And so since the grant was awarded last October, the progress on the grant has been largely behind the scenes. The contract for the architectural and engineering services was awarded in May. And so our project team at the city with general services and neighborhood services have been working closely with the architect to really gather data and develop plans for next steps for this project. And so over the past couple of months, all of the data gathering and survey component of the project was being performed. And then recently, the project team met, and with the assessments having been completed, the feedback that the project team received was that the nature of the construction that will be completed during this time does require a full closure. And so this is something that will necessitate relocating library services to a temporary off-site location. And so last week, on October 1st, council received a presentation from Mr. Ford, General Services Director, as well as Ms. Plummer, Neighborhood Services Director, with regards to what these options might look like. And so council received a presentation of five different service options, which are included in the report. And then council advised staff to gather additional information and bring back some details to the next council meeting, November 19th, on the top three of those options. So more information will be coming with regards to what that offsite service will look like. We're in the data gathering phase right now as we prepare to have that second conversation with council, so more information will be coming. Do you have anything you'd like to add to that statement?
Thank you, Ms. Saucedo. Commission, members of the commission, chair, the meeting was a long one that we had with council, and I would recommend that the commissioners maybe watch that section of the meeting. It is available online at cityofgaleta.org, and you can watch the video. There was a lot of conversation that took place, and there are the top three scenarios included utilizing a majority or a portion of the Goleta Community Center as one option. A second option was to look at a portable unit that could be located at the community center in the parking lot or an alternative location. And then the third one was to look at commercial space. Each one has its own challenges, and so that is the fact finding that staff is currently working on. And if any members of the commission have any ideas, suggestions after you've watched that meeting, I would highly encourage you reach out to Ms. Saucedo and share with her any ideas or thoughts or suggestions, because we know you value the experiences of our users at the library and the programs and services we offer, and we would love to hear from you.
All right, thank you, Ms. Plummer. That concludes our presentation of the director's report. And so at this time, if there are any questions from the commission, we're happy to have those conversations at this time.
Yeah, and I'll start, but just a quick reminder, we're gonna run, kick the tires here. If you have anything, commissioners, just if you could hit the request to speak. I guess my first point is the 32,000 visits, you know, kudos, that's a phenomenal number. I try to do the average per day, and it's astounding. So that's fantastic. And to your last point on the three options, when would it be prudent for this council, this commission, to have kind of voice about that kind of discussion? Because I have some opinions, but I don't want to jump in with my thoughts if it's premature.
Chair Callanan, I would recommend that if you do have thoughts, then you definitely should share them. We can take all of that information together. You can either share them at this evening's meeting, or if you wanted to schedule some time to talk with either myself or Mrs. Saucedo or both of us to talk through your opinions and thoughts. It is helpful if you were to watch the video, or unless you watched the meeting last week. One thing we learned quickly when Buellton's library had to pack up quickly and vacate is it's a process.
Yeah.
It's a really big process that we were thrown for a loop and we weren't able to plan. So when we started talking with Mr. Four in the General Services Department and sat down and looked at the timeline of the grant, the timeline of us needing to move and notify those partners that need to be notified, the county, Black Gold, and others, we realized we're at that time. We actually had to move very, very quickly and put this staff report together in a matter of weeks to make it to that October 1st deadline so we could start that conversation. So we won't have another meeting before a decision by council is made. So if the commission members do have concerns that you'd like to express, or at any time in your resolution that created the commission, you are allowed to call a special meeting. So if you would like to call an additional meeting, you can do that as well to have that conversation. But you're welcome to speak freely.
No, I appreciate that, and that's really helpful. I just want to understand the options as far as, my only question would be, you know, it is going to be an ordeal, and so the speed of everything. But I will definitely watch the video because I've only seen sort of the readout in the news, which is obviously very, very top level. So. Anyone else on the council? Commission? Lori? Commissioner Goodman.
I mostly just wanted to try out the request to speak button. So my question is, there's obviously with any kind of decision, they're competing priorities. So, and I haven't watched anything. So if there's, if it's not too difficult, could you give us a sense of like what your top one or two priorities are as you think about approaching this decision? If that doesn't get you too into, well, that we like this for this and blah, blah, blah. But just, you know, what are the factors you're considering?
Sure. No, I think that's a terrific question and a great place to start the conversation. I would summarize, our approach to this temporary offsite service by saying that the city and the library, we're all committed to creating and establishing high quality services during this time. So if you were to, go back and sort of review something that came up during that council meeting was a comparison to our service modification during the pandemic, and just really highlighting staff's commitment to finding creative ways and working collaboratively, among library staff and then also potentially with other divisions to create very high quality user experience. And so the number of variables and sort of the different considerations for each of those three options that Ms. Plummer summarized, those do take into account sort of that balance between what's known versus what's not known. Timelines are definitely one factor that, is definitely top of mind for all of us in terms of relocating library service so that construction can begin, so that then the project can be completed by its deadline of June 30th, 2027. And so I know that our commitment with regards to whatever option we end up receiving authorization for is definitely keeping our patrons in mind, keeping their needs in mind, not only with our programs that are somewhat more enriching and recreational in nature, such as the stuffed animal sleepover, but also those very vital data points that we talked about, things that we know that our community relies on the library for Wi-Fi, for access to computers. And so really looking at the different components of library service that we provide and just ensuring that those service impacts, are represented, which I think the initial council meeting did include sort of the different, what those different service levels would be. And then certainly at our next council meeting in November, those will be a factor as well. Council's recommendation and guidance to us was to dive deeper and to come back with more data. So we're hoping to be able to really answer that question in detail at that upcoming meeting in November. So I would say those are sort of our goals and our determinations at this time. And if you'd like to add anything, Ms. Plummer, I would welcome your input.
Thank you. I think the only thing that I would add is that with each of the decisions, there's pros and cons. So, one of the pros at the community center is we know it, we own it. The tenant improvements, we know what we have to do, and then we're investing money into our own facility. We have staff there already. The community goes there already. We have a bus stop in front of it. We could run our backside of the library in the backside of the community center with our customer facing, with adjoining rooms that all connect. So looking at staffing models and how we can make that work. So there's pros and cons to the community center. When we look at a modular unit, again, there's pros and cons. You would be stuck to roughly the same footprint as the community center. It would be a large capital purchase now, but the city has the possibility to reuse it in the future for another use. And they have a use in mind with one of the preschools that's on site at the community center right now. So there's pros and cons to that. That has an air handling system. We can ask for an HVAC system. The community center currently does not. The other thing is, where are we going to put it? If we put it in the parking lot, it takes up spaces. Could we find another spot? So again, pros and cons. And then the third one was the commercial property. And so as you look at property in Goleta, it comes up fast. And it comes up fast and it goes fast. So when it comes up, as soon as you start nibbling and you get your ducks in the row, someone's already taken their duck and moved it along and has been able to secure that site. Being a government agency, it's a little bit more of a challenge, but that's one of our challenges that we are dealing with. But again, per council's direction, we are moving forward, trying to take a deep dive into each one of those to better identify those pros and cons. At the community center, council's direction was to see if we could take more space at the community center than what staff recommended. And so staff is working on a balance of service delivery for the populations that we serve with the community center and the populations we serve with the library, both being our community, but just in very different ways. So we're working on that balancing act. I hope that helps answer your question.
Yes, very much. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Any additional comments from the commission? Janet, public comments? Any out there?
Chair, there are no members of the public in person or on Zoom.
All right. Well, then with that, we'll move over to discussion and item, discussion and action items, C.1.
C.1, consider cancellation of the November 4th, 2024 Library Advisory Commission meeting date and approve the 2025 Library Advisory Commission meeting proposed schedule.
So I think with that, I mean, this is kind of a no-brainer. If 11/19 is when the report comes out, it seems a little silly for us to meet. So that my point of view is that it makes a lot of sense. But open up to the commission. And approved.
Just my question, just to be clear, this is to also have a special meeting on December 2nd or is that not a part of this recommendation?
Thank you for your question. So essentially, in looking at our schedule of meetings for 2024, we had scheduled a total of 6 meetings for 2024. Unfortunately, the February storms did cancel that meeting, but in looking at the totality of the 6 that were scheduled, we would essentially be moving the November 4th meeting to the December 2nd meeting. Does that answer your question? Okay, perfect.
Great. Then any public comments, Janet, before we move?
Chair, there are no public in person or on Zoom.
All right. Well, then I move to approve both recommendations.
Second.
Great. Janet, with your help on a roll call.
Chair Callanan?
Aye.
Vice Chair Caldy?
Aye.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Aye.
Commissioner Goodman?
Aye.
All right. We'll move on to C2.
Updates on Library Division goals in the Neighborhood Services Department fiscal year 2024-25 work program presentation.
Ms. Cecile, sorry, over to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So our final item this evening is to provide an update. So each year, all of the various departments of the city present a work program before City Council. And so in May of this year, the Neighborhood Services Department presented their work program for fiscal year 24-25. At the August meeting of the Library Advisory Commission on August 5th, we provided a presentation for the library-specific goals as a division within the Neighborhood Services Department. And so the purpose of our item this evening is to provide updates on the progress made in each of those goal areas, just to keep our commissioners well informed and engaged in this process. And so to provide a little bit of update on these 5 areas, we'll just go through each of those goals and share what we've been up to help us reach those goals. The first one is to complete the library strategic plan. And so a framework for that strategic plan is currently in development. And so as the preparations for the strategic plan continue to take shape, we will be providing updates to this commission in that area prior to releasing the request for proposals to really get our strategic plan underway. With the new information with regards to our construction project, there is an update with regards to how that strategic plan will fit into this new piece of information in the future within the next couple of years of our library. And so the strategic planning process will focus on the desires of our community, how we can best serve them following reopening of the library. And so that is our current progress with our strategic plan, taking into account the newest information that we have available following our council meeting last week. And so more information will be provided as it becomes available on our strategic plan. Next, something that our commission has been such a vital part of is providing advisory content for our policies as we revisit and refresh them. And so we have just a couple that we, you know, have identified as possible as next on our list for policies in need of refreshing and updating. And so as it stands right now, we've completed sort of our first pass of updating all of those policies. So to provide an update on this piece is that we've gone through, we've identified certain policies that from the library services that were very much in need of update, sometimes just small details, sometimes operational changes. And so as this commission has been involved, we have completed that first pass, but it is best practice, you know, to do so routinely. And so it's something that we do revisit from time to time. We may be bringing policies to the commission at a future meeting if we identify other areas in need of update. Updates have included things such as collection, rules of conduct, and then various programs and displays. Similarly, another update here that we can share is that one of our fellow divisions in the Neighborhood Services Department is the Parks and Recreation Department. And as very public-facing divisions in the city and also in the department, we do find that there are some procedures that are very analogous. And so we've worked with, you know, early discussions about the possibility of sort of sharing our best practices to just really create consistency and also to be supportive from an interdepartmental perspective as well. So more information will be shared on that piece as well, just as we continue to work toward that goal. But we have made significant progress in this area with optimism for even more progress to come. Next, our other goal that was included in our work plan is partnering with the community center in weekly programming for seniors. And so currently, the library, as an information resource who serves a very similar population and community, we do provide information and resources to our patrons with regards to senior services that are taking place at the community center. And so we display flyers and calendars, we field questions, we will refer patrons to the community center staff if they have a special request for a booking that perhaps the library policies or service levels aren't able to accommodate. And so we are definitely in those conversations about how we can provide support for the same population. Since we have many, many patrons who will visit the library, they'll have, you know, a program or a senior lunch at the community center. And so in looking forward, there may be opportunities for that continued collaboration between the library and the community center during the construction phase of our Building Forward grant. Next, an exciting update on this piece, working with our schools to access library cards for all students. So again, touching back to our point about teen involvement at the library, our children's librarian recently partnered with the teacher librarian at the Goleta Valley Junior High, which is located just across the street from Goleta Valley Library. And she visited, she spent a couple of hours there last month, and she connected with the 7th and 8th graders. And I was so excited. I asked her when she came back, you know, how did it go? How many cards did you make? And she said, well, I'm going to get the applications. We're going to create the cards. And in preparing for this report, I followed back up with her. And she said, we've created 300 cards for teens in our community, which is just fantastic. And so definitely excited to provide that update on this particular item in our work program. So more to come on that. We're hoping to be able to reach out next to our high school students at Dos Pueblos and replicate that same degree of involvement and excitement for the library. And lastly, our fifth goal that I wanted to provide an update on was establishing a new book fan service plan if funding is identified. And so if funding is identified for the continuation of book fan service in fiscal year 25-26, the service plan will be reviewed and revisited at that time. And so that might include things like potential updates to routes and schedules, which would be shared with this commission, you know, for input and advisement, just as we revisit that service model. At this point in the budget process, we're not quite at a point to have those granular updates, but we do want to mention in terms of reaching towards this goal is that one of the items that was included in the staff report for the October 1st council meeting on the temporary offsite service options during construction was that all of our service options do explore the possibility of expanding book fan service in some capacity. which would be formalized with council authorization. So just to share that that update with more information to come there as well.
Great. Great job, Ms. Saucedo. I also wanted to add, Chair and members of the Commission, that the, one of the purposes of tonight's update on all of our current strategic goals in our work plan is because we are starting to put the framework together for our next two-year strategic plan. There's a big missing component, and that is, not for our strategic plan, for our work plan. And that is where are we going to be? So as soon as we get that answered, we'll be able to come back to the commission to share, okay, in this location, these are our points we really want to hit on. We were in our original work plan. We were supposed to be working on our strategic plan now. But as you can see, we set these work plans. We start working on them 6 to 8 months before they're approved and adopted by council. So we had put that before we learned of the, you know, right at the same time we started learning about the Building Forward grant and then all the deadlines and all the work that went with that. So our strategic plan, we know that we would have, if we try to do some questioning of the community now, we'd see a lot, please improve the bathrooms, please improve this, please improve that. So with all of that happening with the Building Forward grant, it gives us the opportunity to do that strategic plan while we are out of the building so that we can really focus on service model and then anything else that we may have missed, because as the report earlier shared, we have very specific things we can do in this grant, and we're going to try to sneak in anything we can, as much as we can, there's very specific components to this grant. So we wanted to make sure that the commissioners were aware that these work plans are extremely important documents for us. This is our map for our work for the year, and this is what sets us, you know, out in the community, and we kind of all point back to these work plans. So we're going to be coming back to the commission with recommendations and suggestions for next year's work plan, the next 2 years. So it will be, if we are to be moving, when we do move out of the existing library, it will be roughly about June 1st is when we'd be starting. So that hits our next fiscal year. And we will be in there anywhere from 12 to 24 months, depending on how construction's going. So that could be the full 2 years. So our framework for the goals will be modified, but we will. We wanted to make sure that you had enough time to think about what you might like to see the staff work on or the direction of the library as we're moving forward, especially in this alternate service model. So that's kind of why we wanted to share with you what the work plan was, how it fit into the city process. Now we've provided you the update, and either at your next meeting or your first meeting in 2025, we'll be bringing you our recommendations to be carried forward for our work plan. And that work plan also helps set our budget for the next 2 years. And so if we wanted to say, you know, we wanted to have a circus 3 days out of the year, then we have to have funding for that circus. So that's kind of, it all fits, all the puzzle pieces fit together.
Thank you very much. I think this is phenomenal. It's great to see all the action in the community. The only point I have is that as a San Marcos alum, I would strongly urge you to not consider Dos Pueblos first, and let's go with what is, my numbers say, the best high school in Santa Barbara. So if we could just strongly urge from the chair, if that's not illegal. No, phenomenal work. Thank you very much. And I'll open it up to actual questions from the commission. All right. Hearing none, any public comments, Janet?
Chair, there is no public present in person or on Zoom.
we'll get off before the other principals of Santa Barbara High and those people jump on. But seeing it is 6:41, I will call this meeting closed, and this meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everyone.